well do you really know your neighbours? Today on the Monocle Arts Review, we'll be looking at two new films that investigate the goings-on inside shared buildings. We'll explore the dizzying heights of Ben Wheatley's adaptation of the dystopian drama High Rise. And then we'll be casting our eyes south for the British thriller The Ones Below. Plus, we'll head out of the city and into the woods to assess the creepiness of a brand new horror film, The Witch. And joining me in studio to discuss all three is film critic Anna Smith. That's all to come right here on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. J.G. Ballard's dystopian urban novel High Rise has been just given the silver screen treatment by British director Ben Wheatley. It explores the lifestyles and the hierarchy of the residents in a luxury London apartment block through the eyes of Dr. Robert Lang, played by Tom Hiddleston. Anna, can you start off today's discussion by kind of explaining to us the premise of this film?
The premise. Okay, so Dr. Robert Lang, played by Tom Hiddleston, moves into the high rise in the hope, he's newly divorced, he's in the hope of a better life, a sort of more streamlined existence. The idea is everything is laid on for him in this high rise, everything you need, you never really need to go outside. It's very near his work, the supermarket's in there, all the social life he could wish for. So you can sort of see where this is going on the dystopian side of things. All may not be as wonderful as it appears.
Well, let's have a listen. Here is a clip from High Rise.
You built all this.
I put all my energies into this tower, but I am the architect of my own accident.
Is that a horse?
Probably.
On the 40th floor.
Your husband appears intent on colonizing the sky.
And who can blame him when you look at what's going on at street level?
How's the high life?
Prone to fits of mania, narcissism, and power failure.
A clip from the movie High Rise. Now, it's taken producer Jeremy Scott almost three decades to bring this book to the screen. One of his early choices was director Nick Rogue. Tell us about the choice of the director who ended up making the movie.
Well, Ben Wheatley is a great choice for a cult movie, which I think this really is. You know, it's got a very specific kind of market. And I think fans of Ben Wheatley's work, like Kill List, Anna Field in England, will be well served by this. He's always had a sense for the macabre, a sense of the absurd, a sense of the surreal, and he has a wonderful way of collecting fantastic British actors, as we see in, it's not just Tom Hiddleston, but Jeremy Irons, Sienna Miller, Luke Evans, and so on, and many, many more, in fact. So Ben Wheatley comes with a certain pedigree, a certain expectation, which I think to a point he does fulfil in this. But High Rise is actually probably even more ambitious than his other films because it's a less personal project. Of course, it's based on a novel written once again by Amy Jump, who is Ben Wheatley's wife. And she does a terrific job, but it is a difficult novel to adapt and kind of make some sort of coherent sense of.
Let's talk a little bit about the production values because, you know, High Rise in a way is a metaphor for society, perhaps. How does the High Rise apartment building structurally, visually reflect the society we're being shown?
Well, it's quite a brutal building. I mean, it's sort of built as a luxury apartment, actually. Of course, it only gets more luxurious the higher up you go. Lower down, you have many people with families, not so much money, representing the working classes. And then, of course, you have the doctor character, your professional, who's a bit higher up. And then right up the top, you've got Jeremy Irons, the architect, a.k.a. basically God or the Prime Minister, or however you want to view him. And they have a very luxurious life. They have wonderful champagne throwing parties. But they also, the sense of absurd comes in their parties because they have dress up in crazy fancy dress clothes, as you heard in the trailer there. They have, you know, horses sort of flown in for their parties. They have very outrageous, increasingly orgiastic parties. And as things wear on, it seems that no flaw is without its own flaws.
That's very much about the sort of inequality quality of society. I mean, how do the upper floors and lower floors, how do they differ in terms of their amenities and what they can get, which obviously leads to a lot of the chaos that unravels at the end?
Well, what's interesting about this film, without giving too much away, is that increasingly they all start to suffer from the same problems in terms of access to food and such like. I mean, you know, initially, you know, there's much more food and drink available to the upper floors, but things descend and things kind of level out really in terms of equality as you know, resources become more scarce. But certainly there's things like the swimming pool isn't open to certain residents at certain times. And I like the Luke Evans character, who's a kind of rabble-rousing communist who's sort of charging through the upper floors. He's a documentary maker as well, kind of saying, listen, you know, we want rights. And yeah, so as you can see, an allegory for life and the cultural society's structure.
Well, definitely one to look out for. High Rise premiered at the 2015 Toronto International Film Festival and is out on the 18th of March here in the UK before rolling out across Europe and the United States throughout the spring. We're sticking with films set in London apartments for our next title today, The Ones Below. This psycho thriller follows two couples who live in the same building and are both expecting their first child. The two mothers get to know each other through their pregnancies, but as the couples become closer, all perhaps is not as it seems. Let's hear a clip.
You must be Kate.
John says in London you never know your own neighbours.
He's handsome.
He asked me to marry him on our third date. He was previously married, but she couldn't have children, so that was no good.
I know what I want, and I focus on getting it.
A clip from the movie The Ones Below. Now, Anna, there seem to be a cluster of very creepy, scary movies at the moment. How scary is this one?
It is increasingly scary. It's very much a psychological thriller. It's mostly shown from the point of view of Kate, played by Kenneth Posey, who's a young mother who is befriending, you know, the girl next door, thinking, oh, this is all great fun, we're both in the same boat. But as you heard there, it gets increasingly chilling. And it's one of those slightly, you know, is she descending into madness? Is everyone conspiring against her? You get kind of queries, which is always interesting when the characters are well-formed, which they are in this. I think David Farr, the writer, has done a really good job. And as we heard, David Morrissey has a wonderful ability to be very sinister, which is very helpful. And it's one of those ones where you're constantly questioning exactly what's happening and exactly who's the enemy, who's the good guy.
A kind of emerging director, David Farr, but very much showing tributes to and reverence to Hitchcock, Polanski in this film. How so?
Definitely. I mean, visually it feels quite elegant and sparse and sort of recalls kind of 70s horrors and thrillers in some ways. Thematically, I'd almost say it's sort of erring on the 80s side at points, you know, you kind of the hand that rocks the cradle, that kind of thing. So it's a weird mixture between being a rather elegant, almost European sensibility and possibly slightly schlocky and sensational. But personally, I'm quite a fan of that kind of mix, and I think it works. As I say, because the actors are strong, because the writing is strong, and the plot's a little bit preposterous ultimately, but it's done well.
With horror films, there can often be elements of the expected, the formula. Does this turn the genre inside out in any way? Are there surprises for the cinema goer?
I think so. I think it's more of a thriller than a horror, really. And it does keep you guessing. I think it's clever enough. It plays with genre expectations, but then it kind of subverts them a little bit. So just when you think you know what's going on, perhaps you don't.
Tell us about the director, and is he a name to watch?
David Farr, he's better known for his theatre work, and this is actually his directorial debut. I think very much he's a talent to watch. I think he's what's notable here is interesting that his debut, he's featuring two strong female characters, and they're both pregnant, which is very unusual. So I think he's one to watch in terms of thinking outside the box and outside what we might see as traditional movie making, while drawing a lot from the past. He's clearly, you know, very aware of the canon before him.
Well, The Ones Below, also premiered at last year's Toronto International Film Festival, is out in the UK today and will have internet release in America this May. We're going to end this week's show with a good old-fashioned American horror movie. The Witch is set in New England around the early 1600s. A farming family leave their plantation for a remote plot of land on the edge of a forest within which lurks an unknown evil. Anna, did this film leave you feeling totally creeped out?
I started feeling very creeped out. It's one of those films that establishes the atmosphere absolutely beautifully, and you're terrified that something awful is going to happen. I was a bit disappointed by the ending, but I don't think that should stop you if you're a fan of horrors and of new directors who really are doing something interesting. I mean, it builds and builds this sense of impending doom impeccably well.
Well, let's hear a clip from the film The Witch.
This is witchcraft.
Who's there? Boom!
Sam?
Samuel!
A clip from the film Witch. To start with, tell us just a little bit more about the plot.
So it's about a family, Puritan family, New England settlers who have actually been ostracised from their group. So it's a small family who are trying to make ends meet and, you know, grow their own food and such like in isolation outside the woods where very possibly a witch may lurk. The youngest child is taken, we presume, by the witch. And, you know, the finger of blame starts pointing all through the family. So the parents are accusing each child in turn. There are hilarious little twins who are the subjects of a lot of dark humour, and they have this relationship with the family goat, so the finger's even pointing at the goat, you know, and you're sort of playing a guessing game along with the family thinking, is anyone here possessed or in league with the witch, or is it just the witch in the woods?
The director, Robert Eggers, is again a sort of newish director to feature film. His background is as a production designer. Can you see this in the film?
You really can. It is a stunning, stunning looking film. I mean, the attention to detail is very precise. It's very crisp. It feels like it hails from another era as well. It sort of dwells on the fields and the woods and the actors are also tremendous. So I think technically it's very hard to fault. Narratively, I'd have some issues with it, but great promise here.
I think with horror and fear and suspense, so much of it comes in the actual editing and the difference that can evoke in you. How does this play out?
Very well. Louise Ford has done a tremendous job here with the editing. I think, as you say, it's absolutely key in terms of the suspense. And I think all too often in modern horror films, you see these very familiar setups for jumps and bumps and squeals. But this just builds that sense of dread and doesn't outstay its welcome. And there's a couple of really strong shocks which are held for just the right amount of time.
And a great role for the lead actress, Anya Taylor-Joy. Tell us about her and how is her performance?
She's great. She's a model stroke actress, very beautiful young teenaged woman, and she has these kind of hypnotic eyes which really hold the attention on screen, and she's clearly got acting talent, so I think she'll go far. And we've also got Kate Dickie, who's a wonderful British actress as well in this, as playing her mother. Yeah, a great talent on screen.
Well, if you like spooky films, do head to the cinema for The Witch, which is out now across North America, Mexico and Brazil, and hits cinemas in the UK and Ireland today before becoming available in more territories throughout the month. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Anna Smith, thanks very much for joining us in the studio. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian Tobias. My producer was Holly Fisher. The Arts Review will return at the same time next Monday, but if you have an insatiable thirst for film knowledge in the meantime, then make sure to tune in to The Cinema Show later on today at 20:00 hours London time, when Ben Ryland will be exploring art films. But for now, from me, thanks for listening and goodbye.